First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride.
Welcome back to the Jeff Paul Show at FM Golf 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 24 minutes after the hour. 251-343-0106. Quick programming note. All I got for you tomorrow is Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. But it was a busy weekend. They have their delegates selected for the RNC, Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. It was totally different this time. Fermi talked about in the first hour, historically or typically, anybody who votes in a Republican primary votes on a lot of the convention delegates on the ballot, on the Republican ballot. So, like, if, for example, when we were voting for Jerry Carl Barrymore or some of you had that crowded field in AL2, you were picking between those candidates. And you would go down the ballot and there would be convention delegates, and you know, you would see a lot of names you'd recognize, some you didn't, and that is where the convention delegates were selected. Well, the party said, well, we don't want to do that anymore. What if the Democrats came in and started picking our delegates? What if somehow some sleeper cell of Democrats qualified on Republican ballot to be a delegate at the convention, got elected, and then voted for Joe Biden as Republican nominee? I don't know, whatever the scenario is. So they said, well, let's keep it in-house. Let's let the executive committee do it. And that's the way they handled it. So it was totally different. I know it's in the weeds, but I thought I would throw that out there. Pat writes this. That's not what he's talking about, Jeff. He's not saying the gambler as an addict. But he's an interested party is what the point I was trying to make. Maybe it's not exactly the same thing. I don't think we need professional gambling and professional gamblers in Alabama. I don't think that is the kind of occupational workforce we need. It's not consistent. Would you raise your money as a professional gambler? There's some people who are really good at it, but they go on and here's what they do. They tell you to call 1-800 Indian and the Monkey or something and beat today's line. Beat today's spread, and people do it. Call Poncho and Lefty. We know who's going to beat the spread today. Get our inside mega millions hit today. Yeah, so I guess sports gambling alive and well in Mississippi, legalized. I always hear this number informally. How many of you bet on, wager on sports? Either online or through a bookie at your like local dive bar. Because the way it's made out to be is just like everybody is. And I haven't placed a wager on a game probably in 30 years. It's just not something I've ever done. Even playing the spread. But the way Senator Albritton and others talk about it, it's like it's just going on and it's rampant and we're not taxing it. It's all under the table. It's all black market stuff. I don't believe you. I don't think normal people have time for it. I think a lot of people do it. I'm not saying that. I know a lot of people who play the odds and bet on sports. But I'm not so sure that it's quite as rampant as they say it is, especially when we were looking at the governor's report and they had like $10 billion in revenue or all that was anticipated to be raised off of sports gambling. Seems a little low to me. Now, granted, that was several years ago when the value of the dollar isn't what it used to be. So maybe it's perhaps more. But the way we talk about it, the way especially Senator Albritton talks about it, it's like something we got to do. We're just missing out on all this untaxed revenue. Look, the difference here is this is the big difference. The gambling, whether you're driving across state line, whether you're doing it illegally inside the state, whatever you're doing, do you want the state of Alabama seal on it? Because we're government for, of, and by the people. Is this something the state needs to condone? Does the state need to be in this? Do they need to put their stamp of approval on it? And I don't care that 49 other states can do it. that's the question we got to ask ourselves as Alabamians. And I think you look at it from that standpoint, you got to kind of question it. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show at Up and Talk 106.5.
They can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at Up and Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to some of your text. So please keep them coming. Always appreciate the feedback. Joining us now on the line, as I mentioned throughout the program, but I'm very pleased, first time on the program, former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch making time for us. Justice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're staying busy here. We're in the closing stages of the 2024 legislative session, so it's always kind of tricky balancing everything going on in a news cycle at once, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of the happiest moments of any Alabamian's life should be the day that the legislature adjourns for the summer and is out of there and can't do any more harm.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of harm, now, you and I've got to know you the last few days. You and I have been talking about what's going on precisely with gambling. And our listeners have heard some of your spots on these airwaves. But let's talk about this. Let's get into this bill. Let's clear this up once for all. This is not a clean lottery bill.
Well, I don't know if you, given our dynamics in Alabama, I don't know if it's possible to have a clean lottery bill, but I can say this for sure. This is not it. This bill will definitely expand gaming in Alabama, no question about it. Jeff, it almost reminds me of the border issue where President Biden says, you know, we got a border crisis and we've got to fix the border. And to do that, we're going to legalize some immigration, and we're going to legalize some asylum instead of just clamping down on what the problem is. And so this bill does legalize gaming that we don't have in Alabama right now.
Well, and so this is the deal. We can talk about the enabling legislation and all that in a moment, but the cornerstone of all of this is the constitutional amendment. And it prohibits gambling. I mean, that is what it does. Once you take that piece out, the enabling legislation could be whatever it could change from year to year, right? They could say, oh, we're just going to do video poker or whatever. But that opens the gateway, and it just is whatever, however the legislature feels that particular year, if they so choose.
Well, let me tell you what this constitutional amendment specifically expressly does. That we don't have now in Alabama. It takes the three Porch Creek sites in Atmore, Wetumpka, and Montgomery, which are now only slot machine operations. Electronic Bingo is the name of them, but they're really just slot machines. You put your money in and you find out in a few seconds whether you've won your game of bingo. And it converts them it mandates the governor to give them a contract that under federal Indian gaming law that allows them to do full-fledged Vegas casinos, table games, dice games, roulette tables, a sports book operation inside their facilities. Anything that's in at Caesars in Vegas is going to be in these three sites. The other thing it expressly does is it picks some winners and losers, and it gives a monopoly, basically, to seven other sites and basically creates, and this has sort of been confused, I think, in some of the press reports, Jeff, it basically creates full-fledged Vegas casinos in seven other sites spread around Alabama because it says these other seven sites, and by the way, it's picking the electronic slot machine operations that have been in business the longest and who have defied Alabama law the longest and rewarding them with this law that says those seven sites in particular can now have electronic games of chance, but it doesn't define or limit electronic games a chance. So your viewers can ask themselves, I mean, your listeners can ask themselves this question. What game that occurs in Las Vegas cannot be converted, even before AI, cannot be converted to an electronic operation with a big monitor on the wall and touchpads for patrons to use to ask for another hit on their blackjack hand or to tell the dealer, the electronic dealer, when to roll the dice? Anything that's in Vegas can become a, quote, electronic game of chance. In fact, the sponsor of that bill, of the bill that we're now talking about, the sponsor of it, Representative Singleton, on the floor of the House Tuesday night, explicitly told his fellow members that these seven sites, this bill creates for them, quote, dealerless casinos, unquote. And so this bill explicitly creates 10 Vegas-style, full array of Vegas game casinos spread all over the state with all of the bad things and ill effects that come with putting casinos in a place like Alabama.
Well, and here's another aspect of this, Justice. Now, the fear, and I think this is a legitimate fear, once you introduce this industry, quote-unquote, we'll just call it that for better or for worse, into Alabama, I mean, they are going to play in Alabama politics. And what we can't, what we haven't been able to nail down precisely is just what kind of role that's going to play. Now, they would tell you, well, there's going to be a prohibition on lobbying or a prohibition on campaign contributions or whatever. So don't worry about that. And I always think back to my time in Florida and how the Seminole Indian tribe really had a lot of influence. It really changed the balance of power in Tallahassee. Would that happen? What happens here under this?
Yeah, it will, look, I'd love to share in just a moment a few other things that these casinos will bring with them and that increasing gambling will bring with it. But to your point right there, to your question, even if you're agnostic on some of the social ills, the crime, the increased sex trafficking, not being your brother's keeper, the financial difficulties it will cause, the addiction. And I really like to comment on the addiction here in a minute. Even if you don't really buy into that narrative that expanding gambling will bring these things to Alabama, especially the casinos when it comes to sex trafficking, even if you don't believe it, or even if you're agnostic about those things and you're willing to set those aside because you've heard there's going to be a bunch of tax money, and you don't want to pay any more property taxes or sales taxes. So let's let everybody else do the gambling and create the revenue. Even if that's your approach, I think that for my friends who live in the suburbs of Mobile and Birmingham, they ought to at least think about this. The money that will be generated by these gambling operations is so huge that it will swamp what they're generating right now. Their nose is already under the tent in Montgomery, but if these bills pass, the gambling interests of all sorts will absolutely control our state politics. They will supplant the Business Council of Alabama, Alpha, whoever you think is in Montgomery influencing legislators. They will control Alabama politics for the next 4 or 5 decades with the kind of money they will have. They'll be picking candidates for the legislature. They'll be supporting those candidates. They'll be picking candidates for the U.S. Senate. They'll be picking candidates and then hoping they'll be in they'll be in the gallery of the legislature, expecting them to vote different ways. They'll control our politicians and thus our policy. So that is aside from all the social ills. So you're exactly right. Now the bill, to answer your question, doesn't really have any restrictions on family members giving donations to politicians. It doesn't have any restrictions on gambling commissioners, family members owning interests in gambling operations. Now, some people say, well, the general ethics law will apply, and maybe it will, but the bill specifically speaks to certain ethics concerns, but not others. So why not put all of them in this bill and make sure that nobody's going to come into court and argue, well, the gambling bills say this and this are illegal, but they say nothing about family. So the legislature must have meant that family could play and family could own an interest in some of
here's another
operations. And so it's a defective bill from that standpoint, in the view of many as well.
Joined by Fulton County Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch here on the program. Justice, let's get to the societal ills. So one of my texters, I go to Biloxi all the time, and it looks perfectly on the up and up. Everything looks fine. I see more homeless in Mobile than I do in Biloxi. And, I guess the point being, they don't really see the social ills that come along with gambling, but I guess it isn't all that it appears to be, is it?
No, it's not, especially these casinos that will be created by this bill. The fact of the matter is, the studies show that when you have more gambling, you have more property theft, especially around casinos. Casinos and gambling generally, you don't create any new product, you don't create any new service. You're just transferring money from one person to another with the house or the state taking out its cut. So in order for one person to win, somebody else has to lose. But I think the bigger losers are not those people generally who do this, but the communities around these casinos, the communities. Well House Ministries is a ministry in Birmingham that seeks to give refuge and resurrection and support for victims of sex trafficking. They're a fantastic operation. I hate to do this on the air, but I just have got to read to you from 2 weeks ago a press release from the Well House operation in Birmingham. It's an open letter to Alabama legislators. May I just read two or three lines of this, Jeff?
Go for it.
The Well House has been fighting the vile, egregious crime of human sex trafficking since 2011. Not only do we have firsthand accounts, we are also aware of the data that leaves no doubt of the strong correlation between human trafficking and casinos and gambling. Although casino owners and operators will not welcome the airing of this information, it is an empirical reality. For these reasons, Well House opposes the expansion of gambling in Alabama. For the board and the victims, signed, Carolyn Potter.
That's a statement, at least implying, look, that this trafficking problem and this sort of behavior activity does come with consequences, and we see it firsthand.
It does. Another consequence, Jeff, is just addiction. The more gambling you have, the more addiction you have. The American Psychiatric Association it identifies gambling addiction as having the same brain chemistry presentation, clinical presentation and brain chemistry effects as any other drug addiction or any other addiction. A study by some organization, I think it was some Indian Gaming Association nationally or some amalgamation of casinos did it. They somehow came up with a definition of what responsible gaming was, responsible gambling. I don't know how you come up with that, but they did. And they said that 75% of all gamblers gamble responsibly. Do you know what percentage of gambling tax revenues in a typical state come from that 75% who gamble responsibly?
What?
4%. 96% of state tax revenues come from people who, the 25% who gamble irresponsibly. And then here's the kicker. Half of that 96% comes from people who have clinical addictions to gambling, who can't help themselves. And so in order for this to work financially, whatever they're saying about what we're going to generate in income, the state of Alabama has to be encouraging people who are the most vulnerable, who can't help themselves, and take advantage of them in order for the numbers to work on a gambling operation. This is not a liberal conservative issue. This is not a Republican Democrat issue. This is a care for your fellow man? Do you kind of issue? I mean, it's being our brother's keeper, but not in a moralistic, hit you over the head kind of way with it. It's just common sense and empathy for our fellow citizens, and just this, that's just not being the right thing for our culture in Alabama. That, you know, I mean, I've got children, but now I've got grandchildren, and I don't, when they go into a convenience store to buy a Snickers bar, I don't want to see, I don't want them having to be exposed to, you know, all the colorful array of scratch off. Let me say something about scratch off tickets as well. I'll just say this. Scratch off tickets are sold predominantly in African American and poor neighborhoods around America. And yet scratch off tickets are the largest source of income, even on a lottery. So there's a lot to be concerned about that has nothing to do with being a Republican or a Democrat about this.
Well, I think this is important because we could debate the merits of the gambling bill, and people don't know, well, that money needs to stay here in Alabama, whether they go into Mississippi or Florida. But what's important is like this, and this is, should be part of the decision-making process. It has consequences, and you can't just ignore it. You could say all day long that, well, people ought to be able to make up their own make their own choices. Fair enough. But these choices do have consequences, and they got to be part of the discussion.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, you put 10, because this bill, to come back to what we're dealing with here, this bill would put 10 Vegas, full array of Vegas game casinos throughout Alabama. It sets the stage for Medicaid expansion. It creates its own police force. Instead of using local law enforcement and traditional law enforcement, it even strips jurisdiction out of the Alabama Supreme Court to hear cases about some of this. This is not a clean lottery bill, to come back to what you asked me about at the beginning. This bill, and look, there's senators in your listening area that have stepped up and done the right thing. Senator Elliott voted against this, but I would just encourage your listeners to call their senators in Montgomery. You know, these men and women have a lot on their plate. They want to clamp down on illegal gambling. I get that, and I respect that. But you can do that without legalizing more things that are just not the right thing for Alabama's culture.
Justice, we got to get out of here. We're out of time, but thanks for making time for us this morning.
Well, thank you. It's been great to talk to you about it again, and hope to talk to you later.
Absolutely. That was former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. It's just what I